On this feast day of Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, we recall that it is Jesus Christ who is always the center of our life in the church. The church really is not primarily a place that we come to in order to know about Jesus. The church, rather, is primarily the community of people, of persons, who know Jesus already in a uniquely intimate way. A deep personal relationship already is present between the Spirit of the risen Jesus and the people who gather together. It means that from the very beginning, the Christian community always believed that the living Spirit of Christ is present within the community that gathers. Because they remembered the profound meaning of the words of Jesus when he said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst." Well, that's what St. Paul means when he speaks about the body of Christ. The body is the community which contains the living Spirit of the risen Christ. Again, being a member of the Christ-centered community means not only knowing about Jesus, but primarily it means knowing him this profound intimate fashion as a living presence here, now. That is really why the church exists. This is what the church is all about. It means that everything else that we do as church grows out of that mystery. All of the other functions of the church, the good deeds, the charities, the education, the family counseling, the social activities, all of these things take their meaning only in the relationship of the church's primary function of centering on the Lord Jesus, which is what we do here now. And that's why we are able to see a beautiful rhythm in the church's life that makes it possible for us to be even more specific and concrete. It means that there is a gathering and a scattering that takes place. Of time of gathering, a coming together on the Lord's Day, to experience, as we do now, the living presence of God here in our very midst. And then as we leave, a time of scattering during the week to share it with other people in this dark, broken world. A time of being called together on the day of the Lord, in the time of being sent out into the world to bring the good news of healing to others. Now, as we heard in today's beautiful readings in Scripture, from the very earliest times in the religious history of humankind, this gathering aspect of people has played a very important role in the life of God's people. From the very beginning, men and women would build altars, and they brought their sacrifices together into the gathering. Sacrifice is a way of showing our personal and community intensity, urgency of devotion in our heart. As a people, as individuals, we gather with the intention of always giving up something of ourselves as part of the experience making holy what it is that we do and what we are. That's part of the experience. And as we heard in the beautiful first reading today about the experience of the people with Moses, the Old Testament reveals many ways and many modes of worship during the long, long historical generations before the coming of Christ. And with that kind of Old Testament background, it is not surprising to find the forms of worship that we have had in the New Testament as part of our gospel experience. Remember that the people worshipped in the temple. Jesus and his disciples worshipped in the temple, and they also worshipped in the Jewish synagogues. They're all Jewish people. Jesus worshipped in the little synagogue in the town of his birth in Nazareth. And then he worshipped at the other little synagogue that he made the center of his headquarters during his ministry in Capernaum. And the people in the early Christian centuries also worshipped in their homes. That's a tradition that goes way back. Among other things, we saw in the gospel today that the celebration of the Lord's Supper, the very first Eucharist, took place in the upper room of someone's home. The early Christians gathered together on Sunday, the Lord's Day, regularly for the breaking of the bread. That is what the Mass was called. The breaking of the bread, and they would gather to pray, offer their gifts for the poor and the needy. And from the beginning, this worship experience has been this uniquely valuable experience of the Christian community. And at the center of it all, always, the presence of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a piece of inspirational writing called The Flame Tree. And the author very beautifully urges all of us to try to rediscover the great mystery of what it means to worship as an experience. He writes, "O Lord, where can I find something so sacred today, an altar so holy, a mountain so mysterious that no one will ever touch it?" When Moses reached the mystery mountain, you came to him in a flame, and Moses had to take off his shoes to walk on that holy ground. Lord, will you crucify my flesh in that untouchable flame, or you suffered hell? Lord, make me a holy ground. And then perhaps during the week I will see you leap out in the flames from the trees in my yard. That is the beauty of the worship experience. That as we learn how to experience the holiness of the risen Jesus here, then we are able to experience his holiness in the common, ordinary things of the week, even like the trees in our yard. You will begin to see the fire, hear the music, and above all sense the presence of the Lord on the weekday hours. We come together as a people to present ourselves to the living God through the Lord Jesus. And the only question about the sermon or the singing, the prayers, is, have these elements of worship helped us to enrich our experience of the living God in this way? You see, the Lord Jesus does come and is always present here when we gather. It's up to us to become aware of that mystery. The Lord is present and comes in an immediate, intense way that we call worship. All of the other aids of worship are intended to help us become aware and experience that mystery which is here. A new parishioner one time asked the pastor how many people the church building accommodated. And the pastor said, well, it sleeps about 500. Now it means that if any of you are still here because you think it's a sin not to be here, or you are here because you are just skirting the edges, concerning yourself perhaps more about the aids to worship more than the experience of worship. And the experience means that you enter into it with your whole being as a total person, which means that it is worship work. That is what liturgy means. It is a work of the total person. We enter in not only with our bodies by being present, but with our mind and heart, emotions and intellect. You miss the whole point of what we're doing here if you don't begin to know and experience Christ in that way. All of these components are there to help us. The music has the potential to lift up our spirits, to help us focus on the beautiful things of the Eucharist, the harmony, the peace, praise, thanksgiving. The silence, the sacred silence, can be as important as the music and the prayer. It is during the sacred silence that we learn to listen to the word of the Lord, the presence, the mystery in our heart. That's when God speaks to us. In the silence. And then the fact of being together. Remember that we're all able to pray alone at home. We can read the scripture alone at home. You can always approach God anywhere, alone, wherever you are. But when we worship, it means that we come together as a people to support each other with our common shared faith in the presence of the living Lord. And always at the center is this act of communicating with Jesus by our prayers, by our words, by our singing, as a people, as a congregation, to experience the living, intense presence of God here in Jesus Christ. That is what gathering is all about. That is what the Mass, the Eucharist, is all about. In one sense, you might say that a gathering is an end in itself. In another sense, it is not an end in itself. Because the gathering together is the equipping, the strengthening us to scatter during the week for our mission and our ministry to other people. The New Testament early Christians would scatter out into the world with an amazing vitality because they understood the potential that they received in the Eucharist when they gathered. Because they were strengthened by the Mass, they were propelled by this urgent desire to share Jesus Christ with the world. And that's how they proclaimed the good news to the world, by their lives. Their love for Christ and their understanding of the good news led them to feed the hungry, to visit the sick, and to protest against social injustice. But they did all those things simply as an outgrowth of their learning to know, in the intimate sense of that word, and to love Jesus through and in the gathering. Right now, at this moment, the Spirit of Jesus, the risen Christ, is present here now in this gathering. Right now.